नमो भगवते
वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भगवद् गीता एज इट इज Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Chapter 16, Text 23. Yah Shastra Vidhi Mutsrija Vartate Kama Karataha Nasa Siddhim Avapnoti Nasukam Naparangatim. Translation: He who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination. Purport: as described before, the Shastra Vidhi, or the direction of the Shastra, is given to the different castes and orders of human society. That's a very important statement in itself, because that means that Shastra, particularly the Vedic knowledge, is meant, it's not just something that anyone can pick up and read and do what they like with, but it's specifically meant for people who are within the Varnashram system. It's aimed particularly at those people. Particularly the Brahmanas are supposed to learn Shastra in depth and convey that knowledge to others, including Kshatriyas and Vaishyas and Shudras. Of course, these topics are very much misunderstood nowadays because of the invention of the idea of the caste system. There is the Varnashram system, but that's not what the caste system is. It's a misconstrual. Anyway, that's another topic. I'll go on. I just read the first line of the purport, and there's so much to be considered just in the first line. Anyway, I'll go on. Srila Prabhupada's purport is continued. Everyone is expected to follow these rules and regulations. Everyone here means within the Varnashram system. You may think, everyone? What do you mean everyone's expected to follow? Why is someone living in Australia expected to follow? Well, they don't even know anything about it. But those within the Varnashrams, everyone here, this is connected to the previous sentence. So everyone is expected. It means that the Varnashram society is conducted according to Shastra, which means Vedic Shastra. Everyone is expected to follow these rules and regulations. If one does not follow them and acts whimsically according to his lust, greed, and desire, then he never will be perfect in his life. So that gives more understanding of the importance of Varnashram, that you can't live properly, you can't live in a manner that is conducive for spiritual advancement, unless one lives according to Varnashram. A major difficulty in spreading Krishna consciousness around the world is that people are trying to be Krishna conscious on a template of demoniac culture. It doesn't work. In other words, a man may theoretically know all these things, but if he does not apply them in his own life, then he is to be known as the lowest of mankind. That Krishna mentions. Naradhama, lowest of mankind. And those who are not in the Varnashram system, they're not even considered to be mankind anyway. They're kind of humans. They're biologically humans, but culturally, they're subhuman. So the lowest among mankind means they're still somewhere on the map. They're not off the map altogether. In the human form of life, a living entity is expected to be sane. That's a strange statement, isn't it? You think, well, course, everyone's sane, but they're not. They're not. People are not sane. Even biologically, according to psychological analysis, people think America is very advanced culturally, but a huge proportion of the population is either on drugs, mostly prescription or over-the-counter drugs, legal drugs, what to speak of illegal drugs, or in prison. There is something like 3 million or something people in prison in America, or both. They're in prison and they're on drugs also. So not sane. A living entity is expected to be sane in the human form of life and to follow the regulations given for elevating his life to the highest platform. But if he does not follow them, then he degrades himself. It's a very simple thing. If you follow the Shastric injunctions, then generally you will be elevated. But if you don't, you're going to be degraded. It's so important to understand these points. But even if he follows the rules and regulations and moral principles and ultimately does not come to the stage of understanding the Supreme Lord, then all his knowledge becomes spoiled. Dharma svanushtita pungsang visraksena katasu yaha notpadiyad yadiratim shrama eva hi kevalam. So the word dharma in this verse means varnashram. So someone may be following all the varnashram rules, but if they don't become Krishna conscious, then it's all hard work only. No tangible result. Tushavaghatinam, that it's like husking the husk. You're from a city, you're from rice area, Is it? It's still rice fields in your area, it's all fish ponds. But that was a very famous area for East Godavari, West Godavari, Krishna district, very famous for rice. So rice, nowadays they take it to the electric rice mill, but otherwise you can do at home, you thresh the rice, but once the rice is husked, and if you see the husk, just by looking at it, you can't tell whether it's empty or whether the grain is there. So if you think there's a lot of empty, see a lot of empty husks, you think, okay, I'll beat them, but there's nothing, it's useless, it's wasted. To beat the rice husk with the grain inside separates, you get the grain from it. But you may be doing the same thing, it looks like you're doing the same thing, but if you just beat it, and there's no, already it's the husk is gone, then it's shrama eva hi kevalam. It looks like you're doing a good job. Oh, that is very good, you're doing, beating all the husk, but it's just foolishness. So, then all his knowledge becomes spoiled. And even if he accepts the existence of God, if he does not engage himself in the service of the Lord, his attempts are spoiled. Therefore, one should gradually raise himself to the platform of Krishna consciousness and devotional service. It is then and there that he can attain the highest perfectional stage, not otherwise. The word kama karataha is very significant. Just think about those fish ponds. I mean, just one man with his policy, he changed the whole culture, his very pious culture of growing rice, to the very sinful culture of fish culture, pishi culture, it's called. Typical Kali Yuga ruler. They're going to be after these people in this area. I was walking early this morning, you see people in the field passing stool. They'll have the government behind them. No, you're not allowed to do that. You have to build a toilet. Then only you can pass through. You have to hold your, be constipated until they build you a toilet. And then you can go in there. And all the stool will pile up inside. So the word karma karata is very significant. A person who knowingly violates the rules acts in lust. He knows that this is forbidden, but still he acts. You see again, this... Someone in Australia or America, they may not know it's forbidden, but within the Varnashram system, you know what is right and wrong. Srila Prabhupada in his extensive and very important commentary to the Bharata Bhumite Hoilo Manusha Janmaja Janmashata Kari Kara Para Upaka, in his commentary to this verse, he writes that even now people in India, they know that meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex are wrong, and they're afraid of that. But that's changing, isn't it? Even this chief minister of West Bengal, who's Brahmin by birth, is saying, well, what's wrong with eating beef? It's not a sin. Muslim vote. And maybe many of the Hindus are eating beef also after so many years of communist influence, atheistic influence. So, he knows that this is forbidden, but it's increasingly becoming so, even in India, that people don't know what is right and what is wrong. This is called acting whimsically. He knows that this should be done, but still he does not do it. Therefore, he is called whimsical. Such persons are destined to be condemned by the Supreme Lord. Such persons cannot have the perfection which is meant for the human life. The human life is especially meant for purifying one's existence, as stated at the beginning of this chapter. Can anyone remember what that is? The beginning of this chapter, human life is meant for purifying one's existence. Anyone know the first verse of this chapter? Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Abhayam. Next word, Sattva-saṃśuddhihi. Sattva-saṃśuddhihi means purification of one's existence. Such persons cannot have the perfection. Human life is especially meant for purifying one's existence, and one who does not follow the rules and regulations cannot purify himself, nor can he attain the real stage of happiness. So a lot of powerful and meaningful statements there. Om jnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha Naama Shreshtam Manamapi Shachiputram Atra Surupam Rupam Tasyakajam Urupurim Maturim Goshtamatim Radha Kundam Girivaram Ho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tam Natosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabathutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitam Scha. So this topic of discarding scriptural injunctions and acting according to one's whims, I want to discuss this in the context of ISKCON today, and a particular manifestation of ISKCON today, the influence of New Age within ISKCON. You don't hear much about New Age in India, but it is a widespread phenomenon in the Western world. Probably what it is, that people, they take things from Indian culture, bring it back to the West, wrap it up in some pseudo-psychological terms, and promote all kinds of speculations about meditation and peace and loving others and all kinds of things like this. In other words, they take the techniques of like that meditation and yoga, but they don't. They cut it off from the Indian source. Of course, it's not really India, it's knowledge, but that knowledge is propagated within this universe, particularly in India. And there may be Indians who are part of that scene also. Deepak Chopra is very well known, but he presents it all in terms of Western psychology, and it's all a big mishmash. And our ISKCON today is influenced by that. I'm going to give a particular instance. The idea that, well, just be nice to everyone. Always be nice to others. And particularly there's one idea that if anyone does something wrong, don't make a big fuss. But when they do something good, then you encourage them. Any little thing they do good, you encourage them. And whenever you talk to someone or about them, you always praise them. And one hackneyed example of that is every time after I give a class, someone immediately says, "Thank you very much, Maharaj, for the wonderful class." It's become a tradition or an institution. It's just you have to say it, although it's just they're not really thinking about it, but you have to say, "Thank you very much for the wonderful class." So the idea, you should always praise others. Now, there is scope for that. But there's a problem with that also. It sounds very good, but there are problems with it. Yeah, if you say this is wrong, and then they'll become upset, and then their self-esteem will go down, and they'll feel guilty. And it's not good to feel guilty. This is another completely bogus idea promoted by these New Age people, that a feeling of guilt is... No, a feeling of guilt is very good. If you feel guilty, if you do something wrong, you feel guilty about it, that's the beginning of rectification. But if you don't feel guilty about it, then you say, well... Just like we see sometimes, the people you try... You can point out to them what they're doing wrong, and then they won't admit. They won't admit they're doing anything wrong. They think whatever they're doing is right. It's practically insane, as Srila Prabhupada points out in this purport. So if someone knows I've done something wrong, and they feel wrong about it, then they can start to improve. And even if you see animals, they have something resembling that. Just like a dog, if he does something wrong, the owner may... Of course, you don't have this culture in India, but Western culture is dog culture. So you say, "Hey, don't do that, rah, bad boy." And the dog feels, ooh, very bad, and he doesn't do it again. Puppy, you have to train them not to pass stool and urine in the house in the beginning. So then they have to feel it is wrong, and if they do that, then their master will be upset with them. So it sounds like a very good idea, just to encourage people to do things right, and then always be nice to others. Recently I got a long report from somewhere in Europe concerning some of my disciples. And there was some complaint about them. And the person who was complaining said, "Well, I just encouraged them. I didn't tell them. They're doing so many things wrong, but I didn't tell them. I just encouraged them to do right." So the idea is that if you just encourage people to do right, then they won't do any wrong. They'll feel, "Oh, it's so good to be praised for doing the right thing that I won't do the wrong thing." But it doesn't always work. One should know what is right and what is wrong. In the next verse, following this Gita verse, which I just read, the next verse is Tasmat. Does anyone know what the next verse is? I just gave the first word of it. Anyone? Any shloka wallas here? No. Tasmat chastram pramanam te karya karya vyavastito gyatva shastra vidhano tam karyam kartam iharhasi. So, what's the translation? Anyone can give the translation? Karma karta meharhasi. Tasmat means?
Therefore,
yeah. Shastra pramana, that you can all understand. The evidence of shastra. Te means you. Tasmat shastra pramanam te. Karya karya vevastito. So this means karya and akarya. What should be done and what should not be done. Vyavastito, which vyavastayam means arrangement. How is it translated here? indeterminate in understanding. Yeah, here it's a different meaning. Gyatva, which means gyatva.
You can knowing.
Knowing, having known. It's just like in Hindi you say aisa kam karke. Karke, so that's kritva. Karke in Hindi is kritva in Sanskrit. So in Hindi you may say janbuj karke, like this. Even knowingly, usually you say you're doing something wrong. So gyatva, that could be translated as janbuj karke, even knowing. Gyatva shastra vidhanoktam. It's very easy. Shastra vidhan.
Regulation.
Yeah. Vidhan uktam. Vidhana uktam. Yeah. What is stated in the shastra, the regulations? Karma, action. Kartam, you should do. Iha means in this world. It's a common term which you'll find throughout shastra, which means in this world. It literally means here, but in this world, arhasi. Can you understand what that means? You know the word arhata? Means it should be done. So the translation, one should therefore understand what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of the scriptures. So knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that he may gradually be elevated. So in other words, one has to know what is shastra, know what shastra says, this should be done, this should not be done. Vidhi, it should be done. Nished, it should not be done. So one should know this and act according to this. Now, the problem with this always being nice to others, it's not according to shastra. Shastra, well, there is some justification for that. Satyam bruyat, priyam bruyat, ma bruyat, satyam apriyam. That's in Manu. Manu is a whole treatise on what should be done and what should not be done. But Manu says to speak the truth, and to speak that is which is pleasing, and do not speak a truth which is non-pleasing. Of course, there are limitations to that. As again, Manu himself gives a whole treatise on what should be done and what should not be done. So Srila Prabhupada commented on this and said that in the matter of understanding the absolute truth, one has to speak. One has to speak for the benefit of others. And it's particularly the guru's duty to teach what should be done and what should not be done. If he doesn't teach that, then he's not a guru at all. There's some idea that a guru is someone who makes people feel good, as I've several times mentioned in my talks. Once in that Mehta dentist, I was waiting there in Baroda and I saw some magazine. And it had inside some interview with this Sri Sri fellow. So I had a question, and he said, so what is your aim? The question came. He said, my aim is to put a smile on everyone's face. Make people feel good. But the guru's duty is to teach what is right and what is wrong. And if not so, if he doesn't do that, he should be rejected. Guru api avaliptasya kaya kaya majanataha utpanna pratipannasya parityago vidhiyate. Again we hear kaya kaya, that term comes again. If a guru is not properly situated, if he doesn't know kaya akarya, what should be done and what should not be done, same word is used here, kaya akarya. Vivastitau. Utpanna pratipa. He was formerly acting well, but now he's not. He's gone off the rails. Then he should be fully rejected. So what happens if people do something wrong and you don't point it out, it makes it seem like it doesn't matter. You just go on doing something wrong. They don't want to hurt their feelings. When they do it right, we'll praise them, and then they'll realize there's a difference. Something like that. There's the idea. But it trivializes it. It makes it seem like it doesn't matter. Sometimes people think, well, why should anyone tell me what to do? What's right and what's wrong? That you tell to children. Nowadays, they don't even tell children. But I'm an adult. You shouldn't tell me anything. But when you become a disciple, everyone in the Varnashram system is supposed to be a disciple, either directly or indirectly. You have to follow the instructions of even if they're not initiated in a sampradaya, they have to follow the Vedic culture. They have to, Brahmana should point out, this should be done, this should not be done. So by not pointing out what's wrong, it trivializes it. And then there's no distinction between right and wrong. If you do something wrong and no one says anything, and then you just go on doing it. And you don't know what's wrong, and that's the situation in the modern world. People, even these words, pap and punya, people in India previously were so much concerned with this. They had this whole thing of prayaschitta and performing fasts and going to holy place. People go to the Ganga to wash off all their sins. Nowadays people, I don't care about sin. It's not even, all these gurus, they never even talk about all this thing, what is sin and what is not sin. They're sinful themselves in many cases, so they can hardly discuss that. And in this way, what is sinful or below standard becomes acceptable, and the whole thing, the whole society becomes sinful, and then no one can improve. And even within the Krishna consciousness, even if the devotee is not exactly sinful, but in the gross sense, but if you don't point out, say, you can eat whatever you like, you see, you just go and buy some bread in the shop and then you can eat that. A little bit of watching TV, some movie, it's no harm, is it? No harm, you see. I went to the movie and I came out and, I'm still here and no thunderbolt landed on my head, and in the morning I'll get up and chant Hare Krishna. But what happens is gradually stop chanting Hare Krishna because of becoming man. Or you're chanting Hare Krishna thinking about the movie you watched the last night. Or maybe thinking about the one you're going to watch the next night. So people can't improve. Rules and regulations are there to help to improve us, as Srila Prabhupada points out in this purport. So we should know what they are. And pravritting cha nivritting cha janana vidura suraha na satyam na picha charo na tesham na shocham. Na shocham na picha charo na satyam teshu vidyate. Krishna says here in this chapter, one should know what is proper behavior and what is not proper. The demons, they don't know the difference. They get it all mixed up. They're neither cleanliness nor proper behavior nor truth is to be found in them. So all these different kinds of psychological innovations, it's all based on mental speculation, with the idea that we can all be nice and live together peacefully and be nice to others all the time, don't look for the faults. Now, of course, there is value in that. We shouldn't have a fault-finding mentality with the attitude that, well, I'm better than all others and these people, they're just all nonsense. But if we become lazy in distinguishing between what is proper and what isn't, and especially in an ashram, then it won't be an ashram, because an ashram means a place where people come for spiritual advancement, which means there's a particular form of life, a disciplined form of life, which is meant for spiritual advancement. So if we, again, in the Varnashram system, it's Varna Ashram. So when we think of an ashram, we think of sadhus, but Grihastha life is also supposed to be Grihastha Ashram. So it's supposed to be lived according to rules and regulations. But people in the modern age, one of their symptoms is they're very lazy. Manda. That is it. Srila Prabhupada, in commenting on this verse, Prayanal Payasya Sabhya Kalava Smin Yuge Janaha. Manda Sumanda Matiyo Manda Bhagya Hi Upadruta. People in Kali Yuga have short lives. They are manda, which means very slow or dull-headed, or lazy. Manda sumanda. They're manda, which means lazy, dull-headed, and sumanda, even worse. They're either manda or they're sumanda. sumanda mati. Their whole way of thinking is perverse. They're unlucky. And they're always disturbed. Their mind is always disturbed. So Srila Prabhupada points out in this purport of this verse that people in this age are especially lazy in the matter of spiritual understanding. And that's why so many apadharma, upadharma, chaladharma, all kinds of wrong ideas in the name of dharma come up, because people think that, well, you just do what you like, feel good, everything's okay, I'm okay, you're okay. These ideas come up, but no one wants to follow the discipline which is required for spiritual advancement. Now they're bringing in all this kind of psychological idea, just be nice, don't criticize anyone. Sometimes that is necessary. Actually, it's often necessary. But by bringing in this whole idea of psychology, it's all based on the modern psychology. It's all based on the idea that, well, we're studying and we're making new discoveries, and we now know better than previously. But it's all a kind of arrogance, because all knowledge is already given in the Vedic knowledge, and in Bhagavad Gita we have a perfect understanding of the Bhagavad Gita is the can be the template for studying of actual psychology, and that is further Vedic psychology, we can say, is further discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam and Yoga Sutras, Patanjali Yoga Sutras, and so on. The basis of that is completely different to the modern psychology, in which they're very interested. Modern psychology has just become a branch of neuroscience. In other words, they think whatever's going on in that the neurons in the brain, that's what the mind is. But Krishna explains, Indriyani Purani Ahur Indriyebhya Param Manaha Manasastu Parabhud Hey Yo Buddhe Paratastu Saha. There are the senses, and superior to that is the mind, superior to that is the intelligence, and superior to that is the soul. The basis of consciousness is the soul. Soul here means Atma. They think they've got a better idea. By their study, they've got a better idea than Krishna has, than Shastra has. It's a kind of arrogance. The whole attempt to bring in anything that is not in Shastra is a kind of arrogance. That we know better. We know better than Vyas. We know better than Krishna. And especially so within Krishna consciousness, especially so within Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON, because he so much emphasized this point again and again, that we have to follow Shastra. He probably emphasized this more than previous acharyas, because he was preaching in a world which didn't know anything about Shastra. So if we're going to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, which is the purpose why people are, it's supposed to be the purpose why people join this movement, of course it may be for getting money or prestige or just having a comfortable life or whatever. There may be different reasons people join it. But it's supposed to be for spiritual advancement. That means we have to follow the rules and regulations which are given. In this society, the rules and regulations given by Rupa Goswami and specifically for us by Srila Prabhupada. In that introduction to the Sri Upanishad, Srila Prabhupada writes that in India, if someone says something to someone else, then they may challenge them, oh, is that a Vedic injunction that I have to follow it? Because people have the idea that you have to follow a Vedic injunction. That idea is not there now. It's gone now. So Srila Prabhupada emphasized this so much. It's not just some kind of speculation. There are specific things that we have to do and specific things which we don't do. And we just can't make up some kind of psychological method which is supposed to be better than that which is given by Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So that's a problem with this all being nice and this and that, because it's not solidly based on Shastra. Then it undermines Dharma. This term Dharma is so important and not emphasized. And even if it's discussed, it's much misunderstood. But one of the main, or you could say the whole thrust of Dharma as it's practically applied in the world to us humans, or those of us who are now in a human body, to be more accurate, is distinguishing between right and wrong. Therefore we have Dharma Shastra, law books. This should be done, this should not be done. So instead of trying to understand Dharma according to the previous authorities, I say, oh, the world is different now. Well, it's not really different. It's the same thing. It's just that the people are in Maya. The whole world's always been in Maya, and in the modern age, people are more so. Yeah, you can say it's different in as much as people are far, far away from Vedic concepts. But the solution is not to try to make a solution within that asuric, non-shastric, so-called civilization. The solution is to bring people to the Vedic culture, which means to understand what is Dharma. Otherwise, if you manufacture something, manufacture. It means man-made ideas. I don't know if that's what's the etymological root of that. Manufacture. It may be from mana. Just like managara. You say that in Hindi? Mangara, made in the mind. It's commonly said in Bengali, managara. Imaginary, just as Prabhupada would say, manufactured in the factory of the mind, produced in the factory of the... So we have a manufactured idea of ethics and how we should behave. There's all this, so many discussions, what is right and what is wrong. The Bush administration, they justified the invasion of Iraq by American troops because they discovered weapons of mass destruction. So to invade a country and kill so many people, it's wrong. But if they have weapons of mass destruction, then it's right. So that's the ethics that they're cooking. Of course, it was later found out that it was a complete lie. There weren't any weapons of mass destruction. And that was just deliberately made propaganda to because they wanted to go in Iraq because it's got a lot of oil. Poor Iraqis. If they never had oil, they'd have been much more peaceful. But anyway, the ethics, what is right and what is wrong. After the Second World War, they had the Nuremberg trials and so many Germans were convicted for being war criminals. No one on the other side was convicted, only the victors. They convicted the others. The people on the other side, they didn't do any war crimes. It was only the Germans. So this idea of ethics, they cook it up and use, because their whole outlook is that sense gratification, I, me and mine, my group. So even their so-called ethics becomes, it's all influenced by the misunderstandings and concoctions. But there are no such irregularities or inebrieties, Srila Prabhupada used to use that word, or faults or defects within Vedic Dharma. There may be faults in the way it's understood or practiced, but in and of itself, it is complete and pure and perfect. Brahma Pramad Vipralipsa Karana Patav Arja Bigga Bhake Nahe Dosh Eshab. This illusion, bewilderment, the tendency to make mistakes and the cheating propensity, they do not appear in the pronouncements of learned and cultured people, which means the followers of the Vedic culture. So this their concocted ideas of ethics and how to behave has come to this point that, oh, it's very high, very good idea. You just be nice to us all the time, just praise them, even if they do something wrong. You praise them, and then they go on doing things, they take advantage, because it doesn't purify the heart. If you tell people this is wrong, you shouldn't do that. Oh, why? And then because Krishna won't be pleased. Oh, and then they change, and then there's purification of activity and of understanding. But if you don't point that out, then people say, oh, I can get away with it. They let me get away with it. And then what happens is the person is speaking nicely. Whenever you speak about someone, you have to praise them so much. And then it all becomes quite artificial, because everyone's always praising. It becomes like a duty, but it's not from the heart. It's just a cultural mode. And then what happens is inside you're becoming so frustrated. Oh, this person, they do this. You know, every day I put my washing on the line and they come and squash it all up in one corner and put their washing on the line. Yeah, that's commonly known in brahmachari ashrams. And I don't say anything. I say to them, oh, you dried your clothes so nicely, because I can't say anything bad to them. And my cloth's still wet after 2 days on the line because everyone just pushes. He said, oh, you're drying your clothes. Yes, yes. You never say. And they should understand. But you know, and then eventually you become so frustrated and then you yell at them and scream at them. Rah, rah, rah. Well, you could have told me nicely. I'm sorry. But be nice means don't say anything at all. So what happens is that it all becomes based on making people feel good, don't hurt their feelings. It just indulges them on the false ego platform, on the platform of my own. Oh, you shouldn't say anything bad to me. Don't criticize. Don't criticize anyone. It's very bad. Don't criticize. Don't say something's wrong. Why are you... you shouldn't say anything wrong. There's nothing wrong with me. Why are you saying there's something wrong with me? Then why are you becoming a disciple? Or if you're in the Varnashram system, that means human life begins with Varnashram, you have to be prepared to accept correction. But the whole idea, just to be nice to people all the time, it doesn't work. It indulges this egoistic idea that, oh yeah, I'm very good. What's happening, they had this whole idea in the schools in America for the last generation. You don't criticize anyone, you just tell them, you're good, you're great. And then they come out in the real world and all of a sudden they have to, you know, work like an ass in some company and they can't adjust to it. They're useless. They can't learn. You can't learn anything without some discipline and correction by saying this is wrong. You don't do this. And it's not just a matter of what you should do and what you should not do, but it's the whole attitude behind it. Just like squashing someone's cloth on the line. What's the attitude behind that? Someone else has put their cloth on the line. They want to dry their cloth. You also want to dry your cloth, but you don't care about them. You only care about yourself. Therefore, you squash their cloth or throw it all in a corner or in a bucket. That's another favorite brahmachari pastime. And that's the easy way out for you. You don't care about them at all. It's just completely selfish. What's the solution? Well, you could work it out. Put another line up, for instance. That's one possible solution. Wash your cloth at different times, if there's no place to put them. Whatever. But just, I want my cloth dry, and what the hell the other people want their cloth dry? It doesn't matter to me at all. It's just absolutely... It's a symptom of a very sick kind of consciousness, actually. So if it is common in the brahmachari ashram, there's something seriously wrong there. It might not seem like it's seriously wrong, but it is, because it shows a very self-centered, egoistic attitude, and it should be addressed. Why are you doing this? This is not proper. This is not even... What to speak of a spiritualist, someone who's supposed to be coming to the highest platform of consciousness, that's not even... even non-devotees, if you do that, they'll think that's something very, very wrong to do like that. So... this whole idea, you just praise people, though, they have... then they... there's no moral compass. What we're supposed to do, what we're not supposed to do. Everything becomes okay. Oh, this devotee, he's drinking beer. Well, anyway, he's still, you know, he chants Hare Krishna and think of all the service he did. Okay, all right, good. He's chanting Hare Krishna. But he's drinking beer. There's something wrong there. If you ignore it, then, or if you I was going to say in class that drinking beer is wrong, but I can't say that because that devotee's... he might hear that I said it, and then he'll get upset. I don't want to hurt him, so I won't say it. And then you can't say anything. Then all standards go out. Discipline makes people great. Devotee is great because he's disciplined. Why the sadhus are appreciated here in Gujarat still. Sadhus are appreciated. Why is that? Because you can say it's cultural, but there's some idea that they're following a disciplined life. This Swaminarayan sect is very much appreciated here in Gujarat. Every village all around here has a Swaminarayan mandir, so I'm told. But they're appreciated because they emphasize very much on morals, and they're vegetarian, which isn't so uncommon in Gujarat, but they're also they teach people don't drink, don't smoke, and they're very... and the sadhus are very good in as much as they don't mix with women, so that's appreciated. Their philosophy is something else, but at least they're living in many ways as good sadhus, and people appreciate that even materially, no one becomes great without discipline, without self-control. They may not be self-controlled in the matter of the Gita's understanding of self-control. They may be eating meat and this and that, but they have to undergo some austerities and self-deprivation. Wars are not won by people saying to the other side, "Oh, very good, you're very nice." No, the wars are won by shooting and killing them. As General Patton said General Patton, the head of the Allied forces in Europe in the Second World War, that no one won a war by dying for his country. You win the war by making the... then there's an expletive, the person on the other side die for his country. You have to go out and kill people. Of course, we're not pro-war per se, but the point is, Yeah, you're going a soldier in a war. Arjuna says so much self-discipline is required. You can't go into the war. You can imagine going into the battle drunk. You'll be dead in a second. Huh? If you're not fully concentrated, you're not fully dedicated. That's why Krishna, he spoke the Bhagavad Gita. He could have just told Arjuna, hey, listen, Arjuna, just shut up and do what I say. Go and fight. And Arjuna would say, whoa, shut up and do what I say, fight. Listen, I'm God, you do what I say. He could say that. But Arjuna wouldn't have fought with full dedication because his heart was not into it. He wouldn't have been convinced. So Krishna took the trouble to convince him. And then Arjuna fought with full dedication. So disciplines and standards, they're meant to uplift us and help us. Without that, we can't become elevated. You can't. The example that Srila Prabhupada often gave, that Shastric example, it's a common example, that if you're building a fire, you can put dry wood, or in the modern context, you can say you can pour petrol in with one side, or petrol, as it's called in this country. You can pour petrol in one side, gasoline or gas in American English, on one side, and then if you pour water from the other hand, what are you going to get? A lot of smoke. You're not going to get a good fire. So the discipline is there to engage us in the proper activities, like for instance, rise early. And you think, what does it matter? What does it matter? What does it matter is then why the whole tradition for millions of years means you have to rise early. Even here you'll see people are up at sunrise, even though it's cold here. Still they're rising by sunrise. If you go in the cities, what time do people rise in Delhi? 7 o'clock? 8 o'clock? Huh?
Yes, ma'am, even morning.
It depends on their work schedule.
Yeah, exactly. If it's a holiday, then maybe 11 o'clock.
Maybe they'll sleep till 11 o'clock, yeah.
Some people sleep till 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, yeah. Western way of life. And they'll be up until 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, watching the internet, movies and all this, or drinking with their friends or whatever. And then they'll sleep till 11 o'clock. But rising early, regulated life, that is required. That's often people ask, what's the first thing in Krishna consciousness? What's the first thing in Krishna consciousness? Rise up, get up in the morning. That's the first thing. Take advantage of the Brahma Muhurta. So these things, they may think, I'll get up when I like and I'll chant when I like, and it's what's the difference? But there is a difference, and that's why it's given in Shastra, and that's why the Varnashram life is one of many rules and regulations. And the devotional life is also so many roads. It's all to help us, to wean us from our animalistic propensities of trying to enjoy the senses wantonly. There's no spiritual advancement without it. Therefore, we have vaidhi bhakti. Vidhi means it should be, it must be done. There are certain things to be done. So what are we saying? Don't be nice? Not exactly. But we should know that this artificial niceness or simply praising each other all the time, the spirit to see the good in others is good, but if it's done artificially without reference to Shastra and without pointing out defects which need to be rectified, then there will be no spiritual advancement and the whole devotional community will become very weak, which we see at the present time. All kinds of things have become accepted within our... I said this talk is specifically in relation to ISKCON. All kinds of things which, when Srila Prabhupada was present, wouldn't have been imaginable that such things could be allowed or go on, what to speak of encouraged. And that's now become mainstream within ISKCON. And to speak as I'm speaking now is not very much appreciated in many quarters. They say, oh, it'll turn people off. Yeah, it may turn some people off, but those who are serious will take it seriously. It may turn off superficial people, but then why should we be interested in superficial people? There are already so many New Age groups and so many bogus gurus who appeal to superficial people. Why should we become like that? This movement is meant for propounding the highest truth, the actual reality, Vedyam Vastavam, the actual object of the Vedas. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Anything? Any comment? Can you follow Chaitanya Chandra? 60%, 70%? Huh?
Torah.
Torah Bahut. Uska matlab kya?
Something.
Yeah. In Bengali, it's a kichu kichu. Have you heard that? You've been in Bangladesh. It's a common saying. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Yeah. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.